Blog Talk Radio.
December 20th, 2022, close to the end of 2022. And this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening? And our theme is not new, but it is urgent. Capitalism corrupts every endeavor because capitalism is nothing more than organized robbery that encourages greed. And this is why we have people who rebel and cause uprisings and revolutions, because nobody in their right mind wants to live in a society totally corrupted by organized robbery. Without further ado, Ralph Pointer, what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. It is wonderful to be able to speak to you, to speak with you, as we come to the end of another year. And coming to the end of another year is just a way of documenting exact time and events. And as Sister Betty has said, we have 2 more weeks until a new year begins. And to paraphrase a Christian hymn, we gather together to find solutions and suggest actions. And not to offend, those of the Christian religion. We don't gather to worship anything. We gather together to find solution and to suggest actions towards the ending of this organized robbery that we call capitalism. We try to document real history, just the facts of the development of the society that we live in, a system of organized robbery that encourages greed. We document atrocities that greed brings about, and we struggle against greed and the resulting tragedies. We understand that education is the answer. Education, the act of knowing, the acceptance of reality, and we have our brothers and sisters among us, our giants, to bring us these truths. And in honor of our departed comrade, Sister Lynn Stewart, we always begin with poetry, and we have the wonderful poet, Professor Louis, who has performed so many times in so many places in this struggle for liberation and knowledge. So without further ado, while our guests are bringing about solutions, bringing about understanding of reality, Professor Louis, will you give us our education through poetry? Professor Louis, your microphone is open.
All right. Burning. The young bloods went in burning. There was no turning back, Jack, down at Broadway and Grand. They had their Jim Johnsons in their hand. In a heartbeat, Rover, it was over. No one called Jehovah. The blood ran red, but the gold had fled. The whistle was blown, but the money had flown. The roller showed, but everyone had blowed with a tremendous stash, thousands in cash that didn't last too long, that was spent and gone after getting it on for 3 solid weeks of big-time freaks, 3 solid weeks of party. That was much more than hearty, new music, new clothes, new treats to put up the nose, new girls, new smoke, new pills, new coke. But, ah, the dues that had to be paid, the sure enough blues when you're not afraid of the trap that was laid, the cage that was made for animals but filled with men, gone to the pen. Some never gonna see the street again, buried alive in a hard rock jail. Had to survive, no mail, no bail. Buckets of tears, locked up for years, bricked up, pricked up, and sent up to die. Once the people could fly, but by and by, now it's clubs and chains, oceans of pain, the wasted lives piled one on top the other, once a month visit from your mother or brother, a living, breathing fatality in the hard white hands of brutality, no family, no friends, no chance to make amends, nothing to defend, all coming to an end in the big house upstate, locked down behind iron gates in the cold steel jaws of the penitentiary, where we finally got a pause, 'cause it's elementary to know, fast or slow, when the young warriors feel the heat of the street through their feet, feel the need to beat sometimes and not always lose, feel the blues rising under the skin, the news coming in, maybe we can win. Then now's the time to tell that we must study well the world around us, the darkness and power that's around us, trick bags shining in the sun, know well which way to run, know well which way to point the gun. If the weight must fall, and fall it must, don't let it fall right back on us. Before you dance out on the warpath in your trance or romance, better do the math. Before you step out with your truly righteous anger, Don't be another headbanger in a bar, some little ripoff of Ma and Pa, a little run for the money that won't go far before you step out with your truly righteous hatred. Don't let it be you who's got to pay for it, lost in a world with nothing for you. There is always something that you can do. The children need you, and you know it's true. You could let the children judge you. Grandma down the block needs you a lot, and you can let the children judge you. Your brother needs you, what you gonna say? And you can let the children judge you. Your sister needs you every day, and you can let the children judge you. Your daddy needs you. Don't throw it away. You can let the children judge you, and your mama needs you in every single way. And you could let the children judge you, all the children, near and far. The children need you out of the bar. The children need you with or without a car. The children need you just like you are. And you can let the children judge you.
Thank you again for that, Professor Louis. Truly righteous hatred. What do we do with our truly righteous hatred? Where do we take it? That's what this program is about, to educate ourselves, each other, and everyone who would listen to the program. Where do we go with this truly righteous hatred? What actions must we take? What must we understand? And I'm looking forward to wonderful answers by those who are here to participate. And we have a serious situation on our hands. We have a serious situation. We have so many situations and so little time, so few people to deal with it. And we will go to our sister Ann Lamb of New York Jericho and of the Bible. I call it my Bible of action. That is the Bible dealing with our political prisoners. Sister Ann, would you give us a taste of what direction we must go right this instant? Your microphone is...
Okay, right this instant. All right. Right this instant, people can definitely go to MatuluShakur.com. As you know, Matulu has been back home with his family since Friday, a wonderful final result of years and years of struggle to get him out of that death camp. And he seriously needs everybody's financial support. He's going, in addition to, you know, the cost of the plane and everything else to get him home, there's ongoing costs for his medical needs. So people go to MatuluShakur.com. There's a whole support page there. Gives you all the information. You can send money by PayPal. You can send money to another group called CAD National. It must be tax exempt. And you can write to Matulu, care of a nearby acupuncture clinic, if you want to send him any nice mail or possibly some packages of stuff, something he might need. I don't know. People can...
Oh, my God. Did I pick her up?
Yes, you did.
Oh, my God. God. I can't find her. I'm sorry. We seem to have lost Sister Ann. I hope she'll be able to get back on shortly. There she is. We have a new computer system.
I'm back on.
Yes. I apologize. We finally got a new laptop in our studio, and it is very finger-sensitive. I apologize. Continue, Sister Ann.
No problem. I just didn't know what that was. I got a note saying that. Yes, so people can actually write to Matulu. That would be a wonderful thing to do. And we also have a new email campaign for one of our politicized prisoners, was called Kwame Shakur, and he was supposed to be moved out of solitary confinement, moved to another prison, and put into general pop a while ago, which still has not happened for no apparent reason that anybody can figure out. He was recommended and approved for a transfer by the warden of Wabash Valley Correctional Facility, and it still has not happened. So his campaign, his people are putting out a campaign for people to call and email various people in the prison system, the Deputy Commissioner of Operations, the Northern Regional Director, the Executive Director, the Wabash Valley Correctional Facility Warden, who's the one who recommended that he receive this transfer and be put in general pop. So this is an email campaign that was started a little while ago. Obviously, it has not happened yet. So they're encouraging people to do these emails again. There is a link tree. You can go to Linktree, Kwame.Shakur, Kwame.Shakur, S-H-A-K-U-R, just like Mutulu. I will be putting it up on JerichoNY.org and the JerichoMovement.com shortly. Just received this information today. But very important that this young man get released from solitary confinement. His name is Kwame Shakur, but he's also known, I don't know why, but he's also known as Beans. So Kwame Beans Shakur, that's not the name you would call about. You know, you would call by his real name, which I think is Robert Joyner. But I will post that immediate month so that people can go to the websites and please, you know, send those emails. Makes a difference. People sometimes think, why am I bothering to call? Why am I bothering to write? It makes a difference. So those are some things people can do immediately. And another thing people can do immediately is go to JerichoNY.org and please tweet, email, and call Biden and insist and persist that he grant executive clemency to our dear brother Leonard Peltier, because that Leonard has no other options. All of his legal options have been exhausted. He's an innocent man, been sitting in prison for 46 plus years, since 1976, and has been, and even the United Nations wrote a whole, you know, opinion on his behalf that he's being arbitrarily detained because he's Native American and because of the racism involved, similar to the amicus brief they wrote for Mumia very recently. Different group within the United Nations, but the same idea. So people, if you really want to help our political prisoners and get them out of these death camps, we have to do stuff. We can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the walk. So, you know, start doing those things. It's very easy to tweet Biden. It's very easy to call the White House. It's very easy to send an email. And just do it on a regular basis. Because if we don't harass these people, they will do nothing, as we well know. So I will end as I usually do. What's the call? Free them all.
Free them. And now. Thank you so much. And we talk about action and the simplest of action. And although I don't believe there are many Democrats in our listening audience, but we all know Democrats. We all know people who vote Democratic. So we must demand that our friends and associates who believe in the Democratic Party, that they make a demand for their vote. They're still afraid of Mr. Trump, and I say Mr. Trump is godsend, and we missed the boat. We gave a vote to the Democratic Party, and they just squeezed through, and we didn't demand anything. We have to demand. We have another opportunity, because when you kill or put one devil behind thee, as was quoted in the Bible, get thee behind me, Satan. We have another Satan who's worse than the first Satan. Trump seems to be pushed behind, and now we're looking at Ron DeSantis. My God. And we're looking at the people of Florida who supported him. Where are we going, my brothers and sisters? We must act. And on that note, I have to introduce our next speaker, someone who has been in the front of our struggle for many a moon, Tom Syracuse. Tom, your microphone is open. Give us what you're thinking about and working on this evening. Tom, your microphone.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
I think one of the big problems that Americans have is they have no concept of our own history. In this country was founded Well, first of all, do you take what Thomas Jefferson said, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Well, Thomas Jefferson, he was a slave owner. And when he uses the word men, he certainly doesn't refer to anybody that is not a white man who owns property. So we have to realize that most Americans think that this country we rebelled against English rule, and that this country was founded as a democracy. Actually, the so-called founding fathers in this country did not believe in democracy, and they made no secret of it. James Madison called democracy ruled by the mob, and so when we have a situation in which this country was founded by people who imported Africans to work on their big plantations, and sort of a compromise was made between how many slave states there would be and how many so-called free states, although actually slavery was legal throughout the country. The southern states, which depended upon African slavery to work on their plantations, they knew that sooner or later there's a growing abolition movement, and so they decided to secede from the Union, and this caused a civil war in which more Americans were killed than any other war we had in history. And then this country had a war with Mexico, and it won that war, and we took over what is now the southwest part of this country, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California, and then came the Spanish-American War, in which an American battleship, which was anchored in Havana Harbor, blew up, and that that was depicted as an excuse to take over the few vestiges of Spanish colonies, Puerto Rico, and Guam, and the Philippines. And so here we are, that development of capitalism, in which we have a situation in which when there is no war, you have this boom and bust phenomenon, and we see that happening right now in our government's support of the regime in Kiev, in Ukraine, a regime which includes neo-Nazis and anti-Jews, and then we have a situation where the head, this so-called Dr. Fauci, the head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, makes this outrageous statement that young gays are responsible for the spread of this new variant, the monkey virus, and what that has resulted in is that people who are against prejudice against gays, you have a situation in Colorado in which somebody went into a gay club and actually killed several gays. So you have a situation now where people are pitted against each other, and yet what I am saying is that none of this really comes out in the news. The news is instruments of this oligarchy, Wall Street oligarchy, that controls the news.
Thank you so much. That gives us a history of the American social and political system, and it recently it has come out that Dr. Fauci has lied about a lot of things, about the laboratory in Wuhan in China and his investment, etc. And so let us stay tuned to get the real story, because we say the answer is education, to know the in the acceptance of the reality at hand. And so,
and if you think Tom is exaggerating in terms of the struggle to pit people against each other, you should know that one of our illustrious states is going to execute, the first person they're going to execute, January 3rd, during a period of peace on earth, goodwill toward mankind, is a transgender person. They are going to execute someone on January 3rd, and that person is a transgender person. Without further ado, we want to continue this discussion on capitalism that's organized robbery.
as Tom says, it doesn't just encourage greed. It doesn't just encourage corruption. It encourages barbarism.
I must say that these ideas of all mankind, I say freedom for all, whatever you call or name the entity you are talking about. Freedom for all.
All right. We're going to go further to another part of the country. I think we have Brother Fierro in the house. Your mic is open.
Uhuru, 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 one and all.
And we have another political report coming. I see Sister Gwen is in the audience as well. Go ahead, Brother Dennis.
All right. Oh, you don't know which to call me tonight. But it's all good. Listen, you know, I listened to Brother Tom that was just on, and I must admit that we get so many confusing terminologies when it all really boils down to colonial capitalism, the dredge of it all, the murderous capitalist butchery that goes on with colonial capitalism. Now, we can say dictatorships because if you're African, you've been living in dictatorship since the 1600s. They call it democracy. We call it wickedness. We call it the slavery. We call it anything, any kind of label on it. They capitalize off of our misery. They capitalize off of our labor. They capitalize off of our resources. They capitalize off of our debts on a daily, regular basis. Prime example, today in court, there was a rendering of the murder of Tatiana Jefferson by Aaron Dean. The rendering was that he's sentenced to 11 years, and he can appeal sentencing, Dean can, in 5.5 years. He's going to appeal, though, prior to then, but the fact of the matter is, he could not prove, and his attorneys could not prove, that she even had a gun in her hand. And he was so callous in his brutal murder of this sister, did not announce that he was police outside the door. Show me your hand, he said. In less than a half a second, he shot her. No gun was pointed at him. This is the wickedness that we live in. And simply because of the neighborhood that they deem the worst community to be in any African community in this country, they go in already ready to kill. This is what you got. Then you have a system that will jail all of our revolutionary political prisoners for life, but allow those to storm the Capitol building on January the 6th. And the most amount of time I've seen given was 12 years. Now, they beat their butt, or should I say they beat their ass with poles, sticks, dropped all kind of moose spray in their face. I mean, they did all kind of poop in the Capitol, poop in the office, pooped on you, pooped on me. And they let them what? Get away with it, right? That's the system we live in. I'll point out another detail real brief here. He defended the New York Police Department in court. Then they arrested him for 11 years. Carl Asante represented New York City cops in civil rights cases. Then he was charged with a crime he did not commit. But they beat this brother down. Here's a man, Carl Asante, that defended cops in court who had beat black people, shot black people, killed black people, try to rape black people, but he defended them with the utmost stiff neck collar of a petty bourgeoisie neo-colonel. So back in March of 2018, the police were shutting down Park Place. ICE had fallen from the buildings above, so an officer and had cordoned off the area. Shante flashed his work ID. And the cop let him through. Then about two-thirds of the way down the block, He ran into a second officer. Turn around now, John Shapiro barked. I said now. That's what said nigger. Ashante stiffened. The two men were about the same size, each around 6 feet tall and 240 pounds. Shapiro was in his blue New York Police Department uniform. Ashante and a city lawyer, wasn't due in court that day and had dressed casually, probably in some slacks, a button down. But he looked like what? One of those criminal niggas, right? You know, Malcolm said any old snake would do. Say beat him down, told him that he had assaulted police officers, all this on cam too. He ain't did nothing according to the cam, but still got charged. I'm saying this, that even though we think, a lot of us, that we're getting into the system, we get these educations, miseducation, we get these sheepskins. They call them doctorates. They call it masters, right? Master's degree. Then you get up in there, and you got to work for the colonial mode of production. When will we get it in our minds that when we go to their institutions to learn from them instead of building our own institutions and doing what Chairman O'Malley used to tell us, is building our own self-determination, building our own dual and contending power, we will always run across this precept, thinking that we're blending into a society of democracy that does not love us. Finally, I say, we have to take advantage of this era. It's an era of crisis right now. You see it falling apart. All the way they're sending right now, this week, they're voting on the statehood of Puerto Rico. Now, what does that mean? You kept Puerto Rico a territory for 124 years. Now, after throwing toilet paper and paper towel rolls out, going over do what you do with women and children, you're a fiend, you're nasty, you carry disease, Columbus. And then you come back, and you got to make a determination on humanity's lives. You steal the resources. You steal the labor. You don't feed the people. There is no fair exchange. It is time to rise in this colonial institution called America, in the colonial institution called France, in the colonial institution called Canada, the UK. It is time for Africans to rise, to do for us what nobody will do for us. Unless we want to continue to keep getting disappointed, I'd say rise as one force. Uhuru.
Freedom, and thank you so much for that. And I've been challenging people for many, many years to say, if a police officer or an army of occupation member is charged with a crime, which they seldom are, and sentenced, I challenge anyone to say that they served their sentence. They do not. They will not, because that is not the nature of colonial organization, colonial governance. The Army of Occupation does their job, terrorizing the people, and they do not pay a price for that terrorizing, even murder, that they do. Sister Betty.
I just want to remind people some of the first political prisoners were the abolitionists. Those were political prisoners against slavery. Without further ado, we want to go back into our political prisoner announcements, and I believe Gwen is in the house. Your mic is open.
I'll be back. Hello?
Oh. Your microphone is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good evening, Ralph, and good evening, Betty. How are you? Thank you for
fine,
having
thank
me.
Fine, thank you.
So, your announcements, Gwen. Long queue in the house. Can't do it without you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. So last week was Wumia's hearing, and the judge thankfully decided to not render a decision, which is good. She also decided that she's going to let the defense see all the files on Mumia's case, which is fantastic because there's likely to be more evidence to prove that he is innocent. We know that he's innocent. The state knows that he's innocent. He's a political prisoner. They're holding him because of his political beliefs. Nevertheless, this is good news because she was ready to leave Mumia in prison, and I think because of the UN amicus brief and the over 200 letters that she received asking her to look over the evidence and have a hearing on the evidence, the new evidence that came about just 2 years ago about a potential juror that was bribed. So this is very good news. We are expected back in court in 60 to 90 days, and by then she will render a decision. It could be 60 days, which is 2 months. It could be 3 months. We'll have to see. But that gives us time to mobilize and to get people in the streets and to know about who Mumia Abu-Jamal is. You can go to bringmumiahome.com to get on our email list and find out more about who Mumia Abu-Jamal is. My announcement. So pray for me. Pray for Mumia that he stays strong during this this intense period because she can all but shut it down for Mumia. But I think this is a great turn of events that she did not render her decision. She said in 60 to 90 days, and she's given the defense an opportunity to look at all of the files relating to Mumia, which is very good news. And from what I understand, his lawyers brought up the fact that there was a fourth person at the scene as well at the hearing. And the hearing went on for about an hour and a half, by the way. And her was different.
Isn't there a website, Sister Gwen, where people can make donations to Mumia? Because like Mutulu, Mumia could use support, financial support. Can you give us that information?
Absolutely. You can go to Bring Mumia Home or prisonradio.org. That's the Prison Radio is the organization that puts out Mumia's commentaries, and they fund Love Not Fear as well. So go to prisonradio.org or Bring Mumia Home to get on the mailing list and to make a donation. We can use the funds.
Thank you so much for that. And even though people see that as a positive, I see that, I personally see that as a continuation of delay, obfuscate, lie, etc., to keep Mumia in the death camp and to keep us thinking that there is a possible answer through the courts. There is not. The answer is within us, and is that we started the program that we must demand action. And until we demand action, nothing is going to happen. And we have a ex-political prisoner on the line. Your microphone is open. Would you like to say something? 857785.
Your mic. Yes, hello.
Yes, we hear you.
I'm glad to be here. I was delayed. I was a little late getting here, and I'm sorry because missing any minutes of this show is always missing good information said well. But with your point that you just made, I would like to just salute that and reinforce it. Ultimately, you know, we use various methods to try to get our comrades, our dear brothers and sisters, political prisoners out of those death camps. But ultimately, it's in our hands. Now, sometimes we could use a court. Sometimes we can use petitions, go to some governor or president or whatever. It's in our hands to liberate these people. It's always there. There's nobody's going to do it for us. I mean, it's a hard and challenging concept to say that it's in our hands to do it. But it's in our hands, and we have to also keep in mind, I think, especially as one of my good comrades often likes to say, we also have to keep in mind that, you know, we can't be limited to just one approach or just, you know, a legal effort and so forth. We have to keep our minds open and our determination strong to use whatever may be necessary to get those comrades out of there before they die. And I'll just leave it at that. As we always say, free them all.
That's the call, and thank you so much for reminding us we must use every avenue to free our political prisoners, and it won't be easy. As they have sacrificed, we must sacrifice as a remedy. Thanks again, and Sister Betty.
I just want to remind people, when you talk about a political prisoner, you're standing on the shoulders of people like John Brown and all the people that he organized. He was one of our first political prisoners who paid the ultimate price. Our job is to make sure that Mumia does not have to pay that same price.
No more than what he has already paid. And if we add up the years of our people, time that they spent in the dungeons, it troubles me to even imagine that. But we must imagine it and do something about it. And with that said, Joe Myers, 8672, your microphone is open. 8672, your microphone is open.
Yes, hello. Hello,
we
can
hear
you.
Yes, we can.
Okay, this time my phone is working more reliably. Anyway, I want to point out that we're this week, a lot of people in different religious traditions are celebrating two coinciding holidays this year, and that's Christmas and Hanukkah. And what we should bear in mind, even though these religions have been taken over, really, by the evil forces that they originally had been dedicated against, that that we're celebrating something with an opposite significance than is usually given by the media and also by the clergy in today's society. First of all, we should think that Jesus actually was the first communist in terms of any writings that we have been largely preserved and are well known to a lot of people in today's day. Remember that he was executed. He became a political prisoner and then was executed after he overturned the money changers' tables in the temple. In other words, what did he say? That you sit in Moses' feet, but the blood of the prophets is on your hands, and that he is looked at as somebody who's rebelling against the religion, which at that time was controlled by puppets of the Roman Empire that worked with King Herod in what was at that time the homeland of the large Jewish community, but he was working for the Romans, and there was a rebellious movement. There was a huge massacre by the Romans just before the oral tradition of the history of Jesus, and it founded a tradition that for centuries had the ones to stand up to the Roman Empire, much in contrast to the dominant churches today who, in the name of Jesus, support imperialism around the world and very often even the more extreme version of it at home and abroad, and brainwash people into supporting the Pharisees. Of course, the history of the Christian movement is that even though when you look at the preachments and deeds of Jesus, it represents the oppressed people in the Roman Empire. After three centuries, with the advent of Constantine, they co-opted the religion in a new form, its opposite form, and it became the state religion of the Roman Empire. But the reason I think that it has appeal, that the religion has appeal through the centuries, are the communist-based teachings as quoted in the Bible from Jesus and the disciples. And in terms of Hanukkah, that was a rebellion in which the Jewish nation at that time had been colonized by the Greek Empire, and the Greeks in those days were like the imperialists today. They were like the Americans today, and America also is descendant of the Greek and Roman empires in a lot of ways, and tries to govern the world in the same way, using all the same tactics, and at that time they were the mightiest. The Greeks at that time were the mightiest army in the world, and there was a rebellion that celebrated in Hanukkah, in which there were two major military battles against the Greeks, as recorded, and in which the Greeks lost both battles. So this set a certain tone. I don't know if there are earlier recorded battles like that, but of a national liberation struggle against the oppression of the Greek Empire at that particular time. And both of these are traditions, the standing up to Rome by the Christians and the standing up to the Greeks by the Jews at that time, or the Hebrews at that time, were are both traditions of national liberation struggle and socialism at the same time. And today we see exactly the opposite practiced in the name of both in the United States with the Christian right, and also with the corrupt Jewish leaders who were really the descendants of the Herod tradition, really betrayed the central principles upon which the religion in ancient times had been founded. That is anti-slavery, and against at least their own colonization. But at that time, they didn't have the kind of regime that we have today in Israel. I noticed that Tom spoke about the alliance today in between the Nazis and the United States in the Ukraine. But also we have to another factor there is not mentioned, and that is that there are a group of oligarchs, some of whom are billionaires, that are actually ruling the Ukraine after using the Nazi-indoctrinated political descendants of ultra-nationalists in the Ukraine who had collaborated with the Nazis in exterminating the Jews in a place where that had a very anti-Semitic tradition before the Russian Revolution, and but the oligarchs in the Ukraine are almost all Jewish, and they are pro Zionists, so that you have an alliance between Zionists and Nazis supporting the Ukraine, and of course heavily sponsored by U.S. imperialist wealth. I understand Zelensky is coming tomorrow to ask the U.S. government for billions of dollars more in weapons, where they're trying to achieve their goal of destroying the Russian Federation, and as the neocons have advised, taking over Central Asia. That's their aim. Hopefully they won't be able to achieve it. But they're looking at that as the central place in the world. This was also propagated by National Security Advisor under Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, that whoever dominates Central Asia can become a unipolar superpower over the world. So we see how the two corrupt traditions, where the religions have been taken over by the Pharisees and the imperialist puppets, and by the criminals that run society, all in the name of this traditional religions that were founded largely on an opposite basis. And by the way, one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain," that didn't refer to somebody saying "God damn it" or something. That's sort of a trivial thing that wouldn't be worthy of being in something like the Ten Commandments. That meant don't do evil things in the name of the deity, because don't do things that are the opposite of the principles of the real religion. And we have to remember that even though it's presented as a big antagonism, the way that Jesus is quoted in the Bible, he said that he has come to fulfill the law, not to overturn it. And that meant, by that, he didn't mean the current law of the Roman Empire. He meant the original law that coincided with an idea of justice, at least, again, as it's presented by the examples in the Bible. But again, the Pharisees and the Roman Empire co-opted that whole movement and turned it into its opposite, just as the Zionist tradition has turned the Jewish religion largely into its opposite to go in exactly the opposite direction as a puppet of the U.S.-centered world imperialism and imperialist New World Order that is developing around us. So I think that we have to look at that positive side, that there have been centuries of reminiscences that even though they're practiced largely in the breach, or I say even mainly in the breach of traditions that combine national liberation and actual communism and socialism, especially in more explicit parts of the early Christian religion. And those who call themselves Christians and like the Christian right and everything, what has to be said to them is, oh, if you're a Christian, why don't you stand up to the U.S. Empire the way that the early Christians stood up to the Roman Empire and went through such great suffering as a result? And if you claim to be speaking in the Jewish religion, why don't you turn against the Zionists who are today's Pharisees in collaboration with U.S. imperialism, which is a form of world slavery combined with capitalism, which is the most advanced form and in many ways the most vicious form when you look at its scale and it's overpowering violence around the world.
Again, for that, Professor Joel Myers, we have had a history of this idea of religion as goodness. The ceremonies of religion cover the atrocities of a religious system. And my brothers and sisters, we've come to an end of another wonderful discussion by wonderful people of the reality of the world we live in. Tune in tomorrow, 99.5 on the FM dial at 8 p.m. to hear more of what we are talking about. Thank you so very much. We are archived. You can listen to this over and over again. So much has been said worthy of our repeating and listening to. See you again tomorrow night and next week. Good night, my brothers and sisters.